Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the propitiation for our sin. So we're talking about the love of God and how God has demonstrated that love for us. It's not just a feeling that that God has in his heart toward us. Certainly that's there, but it's coupled with action. He actually demonstrated his love for us. And as we've talked about this month, if we really don't understand what Christ has accomplished for us through his finished work on the cross, we're never going to really understand what the love of God is all about. So this is one of those, I think, signature verses, one of those that we really need to put in our memory banks and lean into on a daily basis. And as we do, I think the love of God is just going to expand more and more in our hearts and in our experience, and we're actually going to see that love pouring out of us and into the lives of others. So we need to realize that God loved us first. He initiates, we respond. That's how this Christian life really works, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, you know, if we find ourselves with bitterness and resentment toward other people, if we're not quick to forgive and really in touch with our heart that wants to forgive, you know, we have to call into question, have I really understood the satisfaction that God feels toward me? Propitiation means that God is satisfied. He's satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus. He's totally forgiven us. His heart is toward us. And as I realize that God is satisfied, and if I agree with him, hey, Jesus was enough, and Jesus was enough for all of my sins, and I can be satisfied with Jesus just as God is, then forgiveness of other people is much more likely to happen. I mean, you'll notice that, you know, if we're feeling unloved, it says the love of God is the answer, but not just some nebulous Santa Claus notion of love or goodness or grace. We've got to sink our teeth into the facts, the scriptural truth of it all. And so we see the love of God in the sacrifice of Jesus, and we see the satisfaction of God. And so, you know, Bob, I think we find a lot of folks, you know, ourselves included, over the time that we've known the Lord, we wrestle with being satisfied with the cross the way God is. And if we are restless and wrestling with the sufficiency of the cross, then we need to nail that down and get that settled, and that'll really help us see the love of God, won't it?
It really will. I like what you were talking about there as far as satisfaction is mm-hmm. concerned. The fact that God the Father is satisfied with the work of Jesus on our behalf, and if we're not satisfied with the work of Jesus on our behalf, then we're not on the same page with God. So we're still at odds with God. And mm-hmm. when we actually move and move our hearts toward what Christ has done and truly rest in it and become satisfied with his sacrifice, that's when we're on the same page with God. Everything's starting to line up. Our hearts are in alignment with his heart. We're agreeing together that Jesus's work was sufficient. And that's when this Christian life really starts to grow, and we really start getting excited about walking by faith in Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, the Basic Gospel is exciting. And friends, you can join the conversation and share in the excitement at 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Joe, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Joe.
Babe. Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing wonderful. What's on your mind today?
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you for your ministry. I listen to you guys almost every day. And here's my question. According to the New Covenant, would a Christian still have to pay 10% and make their tithe to be 10%?
Well, Joe, that's a good question, and it's one that we get quite often because, you know, we want to do the right thing and we want to honor the Lord. And so a lot of times we, you know, the church as a whole, many denominations might assume that honoring the Lord requires a specific amount. And when you look at the New Testament, that's not what we see. It's not the amount. It's really the motive. It's the motive of the heart that matters. And so when we're instructed to give in a New Testament framework, it says give freely from the heart, not under pressure, and not reluctantly. So there's this weird and wonderful place somewhere between not giving reluctantly and also not giving under any pressure. There's a third place, a third motive that is not reluctancy and not pressure, but instead just a cheerfulness from the Lord. And it could be 1% or 12% or 4% or 10 or any percentage. It's not about the amount. And so that's why, Joe, as you look through Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, you name it, you go through all the New Testament letters, and there's never a single verse that instructs Christians to give a specific amount. That's really between us and God, and we can be motivated from the heart. And that's basically saying that the grace giving that we do now, the grace giving is the same as the grace living. It's all from the heart. So does that help?
That helps quite a bit. You've been very helpful. Y'all have a blessed day.
Hey, Joe,
right, you too.
You hang on the line. We've got a little booklet on tithing, or actually New Covenant giving, and I want to send that to you. Our compliments, okay?
Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, you hang on. We'll get that to you as quickly as we can.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742.
Andrew and guys, Richard and Bob, I was thinking about, you know, this tithing thing. It's such an important question, and so many people wrestle with it. And, you know, statistically, you know, when all the tax returns are examined and, you know, the different religious groups are kind of looked at, there are heretical groups, you know, that are not espousing the truth of the gospel that outgive Christians. I think 4.5% to 2.5%. You know, I think that's what the IRS reports. And you think, okay, here's a group that gives a lot more of their money than Christians do. Well, do you think God is pleased with that? I don't think so. I mean, they're giving, but they're giving to advance something that goes against who he is and against the clear message of the Word of God. So we get all hung up on the act of giving and the amount that we give instead of who we give to or what we give to support. And I think that's the key. And only the grace of God, only the Spirit of God is going to move us to give to advance the good news of Jesus. That's just the way it works. So if you're giving to advance the good news of Jesus Christ, step back and say, Lord, thank you for working in my heart to do that. Because that's not a natural thing to give to the work of Jesus, to advance the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection. So thank the Lord if he's moving you to give of your resources to proclaim and lift up the name of Jesus.
Well, speaking of that, we have a very nice offer for everyone this month. Of course, it's Bob Christopher's excellent CD series called Love Is. Not to be confused with the booklet by the same name, through the CD series you'll discover that his love actually never fails. Love Is. It's yours for a generous gift of $20 or more to Basic Gospel this month. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-412-2742. Again, that's basicgospel.net or 844-412-2742. Request your copy today and help us connect to more people like you and your family with the love of Jesus Christ.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Jersey and talk with Wayne listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Wayne.
Guys and brothers, I'm listening to your voice again.
Well, it's nice to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how can we put on the whole armor of God?
Okay. So the question is, how do we put on the whole armor of God? I think that's a significant question, and certainly we're encouraged by the Apostle Paul and his letter to the Ephesians to do so. So how does that look practically, guys? How do we put on the whole armor of God?
Well, I think there's a Jesus focus here that first and foremost we need to recognize. I mean, breastplate of righteousness. Well, where do we get our righteousness from? Well, we get it from Jesus. What does a breastplate do? It keeps you from getting hit in the chest with a fiery dart. What is a fiery dart intended to do? Well, it's going to be the accusation of the enemy. What would the enemy say? He would say, you're not righteous. So you are righteous in Christ, and that's the truth. So we have the breastplate of righteousness that is based in our righteousness that we now have from Jesus. And so it's the same with every element, whether it's the belt of truth. Well, the truth about who? The truth about Jesus Christ. Your feet shod with the gospel of peace. What's the gospel about? It's all about what Jesus did on the cross and through the resurrection. The helmet of salvation, that protects your head or your mind. And so where is our salvation found? Well, it's found in Jesus. So just as Paul is saying here in Ephesians, you know, put on the full armor of God, and he names each piece, in the same way, he also says in other places, put on Christ and put on love. And so it's a picture, it's an image, it's a symbol of clothing ourselves with Jesus Christ. That means let Jesus be your protection. Even the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon, let the Word of God be your offensive weapon. When the enemy comes to attack, your answer is not, hey, you know, I didn't sin that much, or hey, it wasn't that big of a deal, or hey, you know, there is no defense apart from Jesus. So the blood of Jesus is our defense, and the sword of the Spirit is really the Word of God. So it all comes back to who Jesus is and what he did. And I think, you know, guys, that's really our core protection against the accusations of the enemy, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. Wayne, does that help?
Yeah, that was very good. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for your call, Wayne, and thanks for your patience and persistence in asking that question. Wayne's called several days,
yes,
and we haven't been able to get to his call. So, Wayne, thanks for posing it on today's broadcast. We certainly appreciate it. And as always, it's great to hear from you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bethesda, Maryland, and talk to Dan listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Dan.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I was challenged with this question. I wanted to ask you. I was bluntly asked by a non-Christian, a Jew, are there only Christians in heaven? How would you respond to that?
Well, Dan, I think the story is all about faith in Jesus. The plan of God to rescue us, to save us, has always been by grace through faith in Jesus. And Jesus has come. Jesus has died in our place. He's taken away our sins. He was buried to put an end to the law and put an end to our old way of life. He was raised from the dead so that we could have life everlasting. So when we receive him, we're made alive together with Christ. God sends his Spirit to live inside of us. And it's only those people that are going to be in the presence of God. It's only those people that are going to dwell with him forever. So Jesus, as he said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There's no other way. Folks like to think that there might be other ways, but there's not, because Jesus is the only one that can solve our deepest need, and that's to give life to those who are spiritually dead. Buddha doesn't offer life. Confucius doesn't offer life. Muhammad doesn't offer life. Only Jesus offers life. And so only those who receive him and receive the life, his very life, are going to be with the Lord forever.
Okay. So you would say yes to to that. That's a definite affirmative, strong affirmative of yes.
Yes, we're saying yes.
Okay.
But also, you look back at the history of God's interaction, and there are, you know, keep
right.
in mind as you're talking to a Jewish person that there were
right.
people in the Old Testament who were still saved by faith. So it's not just that in the last 2,000 years people were saved by faith, but still, even people who, you know, like Rahab the harlot, she was justified by faith when she heard a message from God and believed and put her trust in him. And so Abraham, you know, I believe we'll see Abraham in heaven, and we'll see David in heaven. And there's people who understood that the law never saved anyone, and that we can only be saved by faith. So, you know, we definitely believe that only are we saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. And there were people for thousands of years who understood that. They didn't lay their eyes on Jesus, they didn't meet him, they didn't see him physically, but they were expecting a coming Messiah. And just as we look back on Jesus, they were looking forward to a Savior who would come. And so if their faith and hope was in God in that way, then they too are saved by faith and justified by faith. And you know, we believe we'll see them in heaven.
So you're saying philosophically the pre-Christians who had some instinctive mm-hmm. knowledge, if you will, of a Messiah, would classify them as being saved if they truly
yeah.
felt in their hearts and in their minds that this is...
Well, I would add one thing to that,
this is
Dan.
Going
I don't...
to happen whether in my lifetime or not.
Yeah. I would add one thing. I don't think that was yeah. instinctive knowledge. I think that was revealed knowledge. So mm-hmm. God came to Abraham and revealed to him promises, specifically a promise about the coming Messiah. And to that promise, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So I think it's revealed knowledge, as we've always said here on Basic Gospel, God initiates. It's not that we love God, but God loved us first. And I think we see that pattern yeah. consistently throughout the Old Testament and the new, and that response of faith to the revealed word of God is what saves.
So I think of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah,
right.
who spoke of
right.
Jesus. You know, he spoke of the suffering servant. He spoke of the one who would be in a tomb with a rich man. He spoke of someone who would be wounded and crushed for our transgressions. Certainly he had this knowledge that Bob speaks of, this revelation from God. And then David, you know, certainly understood. He said, blessed is the man whose sins the Lord doesn't remember anymore. And so he was really speaking in a foreshadowing way about the Messiah. So you know, I think that is a message that your friend who is a Jewish person would want to hear from you, that we're not just saying it's 2,000 years only of people that are in heaven, but that there are Old Testament people who wrote the Jewish scriptures, in fact, through God's divine inspiration. And they had an understanding and a revelation, as Bob put it, and God showed himself to them, and they believed.
This man said, you believe that the church is the bride of Christ. He says, we believe that Israel is the bride of God.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it really comes down to, I don't think that's your argument to have with him. I think the question really is one of the law and whether the law can truly be obeyed. And, you know, the devout Pharisee Saul of Tarsus, who was more dedicated, I would say, than your friend, more committed than your friend, tried harder than your friend, was more devout than your friend. And yet, you know, Saul of Tarsus concluded that no one can be justified by the law, and the law is not the way to God. So I think that that's step one, is seeing that, under the law, we're under condemnation, and it's an all-or-nothing proposition with 613 regulations staring us in the face, mm-hmm. and that's why we need Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law so that we wouldn't have to, and then righteousness is a gift. So, you know, with a Jewish person, I wouldn't argue over who's the bride and all that. I would just look at the method or the belief system of that person and hopefully show them the futility of law and the need for God's grace through Jesus. Okay.
He would, okay, listen, I could follow up with that about obligation to justification. Then he would say, there you have the law. If you justified by freely, there's obligations to justification. He said, then that would be obeying the law. That would be his position on that. But anyway, I want to thank you very much.
Articulate. You're welcome. And Jesus basically, there is a justification needed, but Jesus paid that price and fulfilled that law. So it's not cheap. It's not free. Jesus paid for it. That's why it's free to us. So there is a justice system. Yeah.
But are there obligations that come with that gift is what he's asked.
Well, then it wouldn't be a gift. Yeah. I mean, if I said, here's a gift for you, my friend, but you're going to have to pay for it in this way, then it's no longer a gift. Yeah.
Well, Dan, thank you for your call. It's good to hear from you. Hope this has been a help to you.
If you would like to, when we have a conversation like this that is as wide-ranging as it is, and we're throwing verses out and questions and all that, if you would like to review what we just talked about, a great way to do that is to sign up for our email. Go to our website at basicgospel.net, click on the subscribe button, put in your email address, and every day at later in the afternoon, you will get a copy of an email with a link to this broadcast, and you can review this kind of conversation so you can make sure you heard everything and understood it. We highly encourage you to do just that.
Yeah, click subscribe on the front page at basicgospel.net, and that will get the email coming to you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go quickly to Queens, New York, and talk with Ann listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Ann. God bless you, men of God. I'm a first-time caller.
Well,
good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What's on your mind today?
I wanted to talk about the tithe statement. I've been in church since the age of 4, and I'm 50 years of age today. And at the age of 4, when my mom and dad used to take me to church, I didn't understand about Malachi giving your tithes and giving an offering in the church as I was 4. And I used to say, Mom, well, I want something to give. She used to give me a dollar to put in or what have you. And I was so grateful. And then I got older and I said, what can I give unto the Lord? I really wasn't working at the time, but I thought about it. And when the Lord dealt with me, the Lord says, you can give yourself, daughter. It's not about the tithe and the money. It's about giving yourself.
So well, and let me jump in right there, because we're almost out of time on the broadcast. And I think you really hit on a very salient point as far as giving is concerned. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at how Paul describes the Macedonians, it says that they first gave themselves to the Lord. And in doing so, they became eager to participate in the work that God was doing to bring the good news to people all over the world. So as we offer ourselves to God as that living sacrifice, we'll see God do all sorts of things in and through us. So, Ann, thanks for making that great point on today's broadcast. We certainly appreciate it. And I want to remind our listeners, we do have a year-end goal as we're coming up to our fiscal year end on June 30th, $199,000. We've had a number of people respond, so we're getting closer to that goal, but we still have a lot of work to do. And so we encourage you to help us out to meet this year-end goal so that we can continue broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. All the information on how to do so is at basicgospel.net. Come be a part of what God is doing through the airwaves through this broadcast.
Absolutely. Well, for Bob, for Richard and Andrew and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.